The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
But fasting, Jesus being the bread of life. Fasting and Jesus being the bread of life. And let's look at a text that we used last week for the series out of Luke chapter 5 in verse 33 to 35. New Living Translation. Some men came to Jesus, and they asked him, he said, why are your disciples always eating and drinking? And he said, because they go on cruise ships. And Jesus responded, no, I'm sorry, I just just strike that right off the CD. I need to have an editing button up here that I can just push. Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday, the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your divine movement, Lord. I'm always stunned when you show up and do the great things you did, Lord, even speaking to our hearts. And when one doesn't move, Lord, you gather another one and move another one so that your will could be accomplished. And I thank you for that, Lord. And as we study this morning, speak to us, Lord. I know that this topic is maybe not the most pleasant to talk about in some respects, but I believe it's one of the most powerful things as you placed it on my heart. And I know you placed it on Jensen Franklin's heart also. So let this time together be revelation to us. Just reveal to us the things that we need to know. Well, we pray these things in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, fasting is not a normal part of the life of most churches. And most of you would attest to that. We get a lot of prayer, but not much fasting. You know, the Lord, I guess it's been about 4, maybe 5 years ago that God began to deal with me about this issue. And we really went full bore last year in the previous year. And now this year we're doing our second annual 21-day fast. And when we started this, we all said, how in the world are you going to fast for 21 days? And we thought it was going to be the most difficult thing in the world. We found out that it wasn't. That God, those who got involved in it, found it was a lot easier than we all thought it would be. And we all were richly blessed in one way, shape, form, or another. And I have some testimonies from last year that I'll share with you. And if the Lord speaks anything to you this year, please let me know. Put it in writing. Give it to me. Don't trust my memory. Write it down, okay, so I'll have a record of it. So the topics we're going to cover, such things as what hinders us from fasting, what happens when you fast, why is this topic so sparse in the church? Jesus said that there would be a day when he wasn't there that his disciples, that's us, would fast. So we're called to fast. I didn't make this up. You know, it's not one of these things you can say, well, he did it in the Old Testament. That's not the New Testament. He did it in the New Testament too, all right? So it's one of those things you just can't really argue with it from a theological perspective. Last week we talked about should the church fast today? And if you haven't heard that sermon, let me encourage you to pick up a CD in the back. Or you can, if you're technically inclined, you can go download it off the internet. Today, I want to address an issue. I was going to title this "What Hinders Fasting," but it sounded too negative, so I reversed the logic of it and I called it "What Will Help You to Fast," taking a more positive approach to it. So let's look at Matthew chapter six, verses 16 and 18, and I'm using the Message translation. I don't use it very often, but sometimes they say it in the Message in such a way that you just, you got to be dumb as a rock not to get it, all right? So, and that's the way I felt about myself. So verse 16, When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you're doing. He'll reward you well. Don't you love that? I just couldn't resist using that this morning. Fasting is not an end, but it's a means to an end. Right? We're not fasting to say we have fasted. We're fasting with a purpose. There's a reason why we're doing this. Fasting is designed to help you change your choices so that you will make spiritual choices instead of worldly choices. I want to change the way that you think, change the way that you believe, and change the way that you act. Okay? That's the whole purpose of it. So you'll make some good quality choices. You know, there's a scripture that I learned very early on in my Christian life, and it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And we have bought hook, line, and sinker the world's way of doing things, and we have robbed ourselves of spiritual blessings. We've become so like the world, sometimes it's hard to tell us from the world. Well, fasting will help us get back where we need to be. It'll get our focus on spiritual things instead of on earthly, fleshly things. If you can think of it this way, fasting is similar to when Moses went up on Mount Sinai. Now, Moses, we don't talk about the climb. We don't care about the climb. We only care about where he got, right? That's what's important. Well, think of fasting as a climbing of Mount Sinai, where it's a struggle. It has its easy parts and hard parts, but you're moving progressively towards that place where Moses was, and that's in the presence of God, that he might hear from God. Now, so let's suppose for a moment that Moses said, I'm not getting on that mountain. I'm scared of heights. You know, can you come down here? You know, I don't want to go up there. I'm a flatlander, not a mountain man. Well, you know, obviously what the response to that is. No, but he was willing to take... If you've ever tried climbing mountains, if you've gone off on your vacation to try to do it, it's not that easy. It looks easy on TV, but you start going up some of these steep inclines. Even if they got a paved road for you sometimes, you find yourself about a quarter of the way up going, breathing hard. I mean, it's difficult to do. Well, there wasn't any paved road. Moses had to climb that mountain in a very rugged terrain. But he got there, and because he got there, when he came down, the glory of God was on him in such a magnificent way that people couldn't even look at it. So that's the goal. To get in the presence of God. We're not about fasting. We're about seeking God. The process unlocks your spirit so that you can better relate with God. Now, I know some of you theologians are saying, well, yeah, but Pastor, you tell us all the time we're saved by grace and the glory of God's in us and all that good stuff. And, you know, we don't need to do nothing. Well, all that's true except the do not do nothing thing. You do need to do some things. And the reason is because we're so inundated by the physical aspects of life that we don't focus on the spiritual things, which is the really true reality. So fasting helps us get there. It's something that we can do, and that when we do it, it actually helps us relate to God in a better way. As I told you last week, I started a little pre-fast a couple of weeks ago, just doing a little change in the way I do things. I cut out all my favorite stuff, all the chocolate. And you know, I told you last week, those of you here, I told you that Pat offered me cheesecake and key lime pie last week, and I had already made up my mind I wasn't eating anything in between meals, no snacks, no nothing. I was just going to eat my regular meals, and she did that. You know what she did this week? Right where I have to go, 4 or 5 times a day, she took a bowl and filled it up with chocolate candy. And now every time I walk by that bowl, I have to make a decision as to whether or not I'm going to grab one or not. Now, making a sacrifice unto the Lord, that bowl's getting moved every time I get home tonight, all right? She emptied it this morning. Isn't that a good one?
Last night. I didn't even realize it until last night. I also went home last week and threw the key.
Good girl, good girl. But I said that to tell you that already I've seen a change. I've seen some things happen that just really off the wall that I wouldn't have expected. I was just overwhelmed with Dave's testimony about how God used him. That really touched my heart. I got called to the hospital at someone I didn't know very well, who was dying, and I got to speak to the family and to encourage them and just some other things. The Lord been waking me up early to be praying early in the morning, and just some really evidences of God's working in my life. And the reason is that I'm tuning in. You know, I'm listening now where sometimes I'm not listening, okay? Now, anything that will draw you close to God is going to be tested. You need to know that. I'll tell you three things that are going to be tested. First of all, your will be tested. That's your decision-making capability. Your body and your mind and your everything in you is going to say, it ain't for me, Pastor Morris. That's not me. Oh, thank you, Mike, I appreciate that. Just a glass of water, a place within your hand, and a glass of water is all that I demand. So you will be tested in this area. If you say, okay, I'm going to do this, I resolve to do it, I promise you that you will be tested in that area. You'll find the candy bars, or you'll find the food, you'll find all the stuff you love. We'll just scream. They all have voices. Some are little voices. Hey, will you please come and eat me? And others are big voices. Well, you dumb rock. You don't need to be doing all that stuff. You're already saved. You're going to heaven. You know, don't get radical. You know, that's the voices. So your will be tested. The other thing will be tested is your resolve. Once you make up your mind, I promise you, the first hunger pain, you're going to say, that's it. I quit. I said, up. You know, I went for 2 hours. We saw the little video we had last week. I need to show that again. About the guy who did a little video blog of his fasting, and he was going through all the suffering and really hardship and heartache, put a peppermint in his mouth and finally just spit it out. You know, he said, no. And then finally at the end of it, he said that they had 1 hour down, so he only had 24 to go, or 23 to go. So. It's great. So your resolve will be tested. So make up your mind. Resolve now that you're going to do whatever it is that you determine that you're going to do. And your dependence on God will be tested. Are you going to depend on God or are you going to depend on yourself? I need to tell you a little funny thing that happened to me last night. I was going to bed. I was feeling good. The Saints had won. Yay, go Saints! Excuse me for that. I was going to bed, and I have a little ritual that I do at night. I always go make sure that all the doors are locked. And the last thing I do is set the alarm for the house. So we've been having an alarm in our house for when I used to travel quite a bit. And so I lay down and got my three pillows, you know. I got three pillows, you know. And I got the last one snug, you know. Night is when you're just about ready to go to sleep. And I have one of those keypads in my bedroom where you can set the alarm. And it's got a little red light that blinks when you know that it's on. So I just kind of... Just before I closed my eyes, I looked up and I peeked in just to make sure I'd set the alarm, and the little red light was flashing. And the Holy Spirit said to me, as only He can, He said, are you trusting me? Are you trusting that alarm system? And I thought, oh, man, don't tell me I got to turn that thing off. And then I heard myself say this. No, I said, no, Lord, I'm just trusting you to keep the alarm system working. And I heard, I'm telling you, I heard God laugh. And that's the way it is with this, your dependence on God. You know, depending on Him to help you through this. But not like you're grudgingly going through some horrible ordeal, but that you're going through something that at the end of the day, you will say, surely God is in this place. Surely God is in this place. So be prepared to be tested, your will, your resolve, and your dependence. Okay, so I want to give you a few pointers about things that will help you to fast, okay? And the first thing is that will help you to fast is seeing your needs will help. Seeing your needs will help. And let's look at Luke 18, 6 through 8. Again, the Message translation. Then the master said, let me set this up for you. There was a woman who went to a judge, and she was looking for justice and mercy in a particular situation. And he didn't know God and was not a just judge. But this lady was just really pestering him. And finally he said, well, all right, you know, just to, you know, kind of to shut her up, so to speak. And that's where this picks up. Then the master said, do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? And that's the key part I want you to see. How much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find when he returns to the earth? Sailing through life without God's directions will drain all your spiritual resources from you. You need to realize your needs and then turn those needs over to God and trust him to do that. It's a little video that I want you to see. It's titled The Truth. And you will really appreciate this video.
Upside down. This is the truth. If you turn things upside down, you can't hope for your life to change. I would be lying to you if I said that you have a great future ahead, that you can recover from your past mistakes, that your life could be filled with joy, that your children could be safe and healthy. More than anything, you must know human beings cannot accomplish these things. And I'm convinced of this because I know you. All you are capable of is failure. You have made a complete mess of your life, and I refuse to believe under any circumstances that you can turn things around in the coming years. You may think your life is bad now, but there's more to come. You have only one destiny, and whether you like it or not, this is what is real. I am the Lord your God. You should know I believe exactly the opposite. I am the Lord your God. This is what is real. And whether you like it or not, you have only one destiny. There's more to come. You may think your life is bad now, but you can turn things around in the coming years. I refuse to believe under any circumstances that you have made a complete mess of your life and all you are capable of is failure. And I'm convinced of this because I know you.
Hallelujah.
Human beings cannot accomplish these things. More than anything, you must know that your children could be safe and healthy, that your life could be filled with joy, that you can recover from your past mistakes. You have a great future ahead. I would be lying to you if I said that you can't hope for your life to change. If if you turn things upside down. This is the truth.
Amen. Amen. Just a matter of how you look at things, isn't it? Look at it one way, or you can turn it around and look at it in the complete reverse and see that. That's an awesome little video. Self-sufficiency will deplete you of any spiritual substance. Self-sufficiency. You need to become a person who is needy and realize your needs and look to God to fulfill your needs so that your dependence is upon Him. And this will help you. If you begin to see yourself as a person who has needs, it will drive you to God, who is a source of fulfilling your needs. And it'll encourage you to do what God's called you to do in a time of fasting, in a time of prayer. See, sadly, your neighbors don't want what you have because they have the exact same thing. They've got as much education as you have. Their jobs are as good as your job. Their houses are as good as your house. Their cars are as good as your cars. And their toys are as good as your toys. And, this is the part that hurts, they have doctors just like you have doctors. They have medicine just like you have medicine. And they have trouble on every side, just like you have trouble on every side. They can't tell the difference between themselves and the life of a Christian. You might remember several months ago we showed a video, and it was some young people, and I enjoyed the video, where they interviewed the young people about if they knew Christ, and they interviewed this one little girl. Didn't say little girl, she was, looked like she was maybe 18, 20 years old, and they said, do you believe in Christ? And she said, no. And they said, well, do you know anybody who does? And she said, yes. He said, well, do you see a difference in their lives? And she stopped for a brief moment and said, no. No. What's the difference between us and the world? Oh, no, we get together and we sing songs of glory and we sing songs of praise and we use all the religious rhetoric, you know, that we use about Jesus, the blood of the Lamb and the Lamb of God, and the book of Revelation, the book of Job and Habakkuk. And we go all through these religious rhetoric here, but our lives do not display the fact that God is working in our lives. People don't see it. And what they don't see, they don't want. They'd be just as well off at Alcoholics Anonymous as to be faith in God for deliverance. They'd be just as well off with what the world offers in medication to make them feel better than believing that God can deliver them from their situation. We need to be the forefront of what people see. People were drawn to the early disciples because they saw something so different that they didn't have anywhere else. And they needed what they had. Remember the Philippian jailer. When Paul and Silas were there, and that great event, when the earthquake came and the bonds that were holding those two men, Paul and Silas, were broken off of them, and that jailer, who would have been killed had by law had they escaped, he cried out and said, what do I need to do to have what you have? And they told him, and he received Christ into his life, went home and told his entire family about it, and there was a great revival that took place because something different existed. When God uses you and people see it differently, like the testimony we heard earlier, somebody saw something different in a man that made him change the way that he acted because he saw something that he didn't have. His life was a wreck, but he found somebody who said, no, there's a better way, and prayed for him. What do people see when they see your life? Do they see Christ? Do they see the Christ that we speak of so often? Is your life demonstrating that you are a Christ follower? And that your needs, yes, you have needs. We all have needs. We all have trouble. But where do we run? Do we run to Christ, do we run to God, or do we run to our own resources? You will fast when you want your faith to increase. That's one of the things the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. And he said, if you had the faith of a size of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be done. Where's your faith? Are you trusting God? Or are you trusting yourself, your own self-sufficiency? Or are you trusting all the things that we have here in America that meet our needs? Or are you trusting God to meet your needs? You have needs. We all have needs. But where do you run to? Do you ever just get tired and say, I had enough of this place and want to reach out to God? You ever get tired of the mediocre life that you have in Christ? Just ho-hum business to you. So, yeah, I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. I go to church on Sunday when I feel like it. Or do you have a desperate part of your life that hungers and thirsts for God? I'd encourage you to read a book by Tommy Tenney called The God Chasers. Read that book. If you can't read the Bible, read that book about thirsting for God. No wonder our churches are empty. We're thirsting for God. We're only thirsting for the next meal, the next drink, the next thing we can have, the next toy, the next, you know, electronic gadgetry we can have. Where is God in the life of the church? You ever see yourself as a needy person, you'll begin to fast. You'll begin to cry out to God. You'll fast when you need God. See, most of the time, don't get mad at me, most of the time you don't need God. You only need Him when things really get bad. Amen. Really get bad. But if things are kind of override you, just, oh man, I can do that, I tough it up, go through it, I can get through this. Go see a doctor, get another pill, you know, get another job, make some more money, do some other things, you know, and completely disregard the instructions that God has given us in our life. I just got a new device the other day, a new electronic device, and the first thing I did was read the book. You know why? That's the only way I know how to use it. Somebody ought to be reading the book. Reading Psalms. Go read Psalms. We've been reading through the Psalms today. Go read them. If you can't read nothing else, go read the book of Psalms. It'll transform your life. Go read Proverbs. It'll transform your life. Well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Maybe you need some Old Testament. Yes, amen. Go see what a man like David really went through when he cried out to God. When he was upset and angry and mad at God, mad at the world, and mad at his circumstances. But he had a heart after God. Why? He cried after God. He saw his needs and he went to God about them. When God looks down on you, does he see the persistence of this woman that we just read about? Scripture says, when God returns to the earth, will he find faith? Will he find a faithless church? No faith. When's the last time you believed God to do something for you? I mean, really believed it. And put it all on the line. If God didn't show up, you're dead. When's the last time you ever really did that? Say, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. I'm going to believe you no matter what. Though they bury me, I'll still trust you and believe in you. Is that the kind of faith you have? I've told several people this in the last year or so. It kind of came to my mind. Talk about faith in God, and we talk about the things we do, and I believe so much in the grace of God, forgives all of our sins. I told someone, if I die and end up in hell, I'll be mad as hell. Because I believe that God, in His mercy and His grace, has redeemed me and saved me and set me on a course for heavenly realms. But I also believe that here and now we have things to do, and we cannot do these things in the flesh in the natural way we've been doing them before. But we need to let ourselves be immersed in God. And one of the ways to get immersed in God is to fast. Now some of you say, oh, well, no, Pastor, I don't need that. I'm good enough. No, you're not. You need it. If Jesus needed to fast, beloved, you need to fast. Amen. We all need to fast and get off your high horse and just listen to me. I'm telling you something that's good. I'm like the doctor who goes to you and you got something really bad and he says, take this prescription, go get it filled and take it and you'll be better. And you say, no, I don't believe in doctors. I don't believe in medication. Well, why did you bother going in the first place? Yeah, This is good for your soul. It is good for you to do this. You'll be richer for it. I've never met anybody who gave to God who ever said that they wasted their money. I've never known anyone who prayed who said that their prayers were useless. And I've never known anybody who fasted and said it was a bad experience. All I get is positive responses back on those things. Just like they say at the Nike store, just do it. Just do it. Moving on. Second thing I want to talk to you about, not only seeing Him, but seeking Him helps you to fast. Seeking Him. Let's look at, we look at this, we just saw it before, let's look at it again. Luke 18, 7 and 8. So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for His chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't He stick up for them? I assure you He will. He will not drag His feet. Seeing your need for God is one thing. Seeking God is the other bookend. That's the other bookend. Let's look at this short video, and it's titled Paradox. I think this will get you going here.
This is the paradox of our time.
We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers, wider freeways,
but narrower viewpoints.
We spend more,
but have less. We buy more,
but enjoy it less.
We have bigger houses,
but smaller families.
More conveniences,
but less time.
But less time.
Less time.
More channels,
but nothing worth watching.
We've earned more degrees,
but lost our common sense.
We have more knowledge,
but less discernment.
There are more experts, but more problems.
More problems, but more problems.
More health magazines,
but less wellness.
This is a time when we choose any religion that fits our personality,
but deny the God who gave us one.
We have multiplied our possessions,
but reduced our values.
We talk too much,
love seldom,
and hate too often.
We've learned how to make a living,
but not a life.
We've conquered outer space,
but not inner space.
This is the paradox,
of our time.
We've cleaned up the air,
but polluted our minds. We've split the atom,
but not our prejudice.
We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies, to pass around to more people, but we have less communication.
We've learned to rush,
but not to wait.
And under the magnificence,
of a starry night,
we applaud the design.
We applaud the design.
And ignore the designer.
We're in the season of hurried vacations,
preoccupied minds,
quick trips, and fast food.
We have fancier houses,
but broken homes.
This is the paradox
Steeper
of our time.
Steeper pockets and shallower relationships.
Newfound riches, but lost souls.
This is indeed a time when we place more value on success than on significance.
This is the paradox of our time.
Wow. Kind of really grabs you, doesn't it, when you think about it? In that light, what you just search for, you usually find. It's truth. You search for something, you usually find it. People are dedicated to do that. Guy wants to win a gold medal. They got a commercial, you may have seen it. It's very touching, about an ice skater whose sister died. Her name was Jane, and he wanted to win the gold medal for at the Olympics. He's an Olympic ice skater, and he failed. He didn't do it. And the commercial says until 6 years later, and then he did. What you want, you usually go after and you usually get it. You wanted the education, you got it. You wanted the husband, you got one. You wanted the wife, you got one. You wanted children, you had them. You wanted the house, you bought one. Whatever you sought for, you usually get. I remember when I was young, I always wanted to, at a very young age, I told a good friend of mine I grew up with, I said, I'm going to have a house one day. I'm going to own a house. And he said, that'll never happen, Morris. That'll never happen. You will never have enough money to buy a house. Boy, was he wrong. See, what you seek for, you usually find. What you wanted disappoints you, though. When you really go for it and you finally get it, you say it doesn't mean anything. How many times have you seen wealthy people say, you know, they've got it all, but they say it's not enough. It doesn't satisfy what they want. Everyone in this room, I'm sure, if I said there's $1 million waiting for you in the back, you'd be rushing up to get the $1 million. Then once you had it, you find out it's not enough. Why is it that people who win these big lotteries, you find several years later they're broke again? Because it's not enough. What you're seeking for will disappoint you. Jobs, education, success, all those things. God is not hiding, but he is hidden. He's not hiding, but he is hidden, and he's hidden behind the walls that we've built. We've built the walls of the clutter of our society, wanting to be like the Joneses, the proverbial Joneses, wanting to be like them. And it's built a clutter of a wall so high you can't see it. You know, in the old, back in the ancient days when they used to have walls to protect their cities before they had ABM missiles, they used to build a wall, and it was a wall that was hollow in the center. You know why it was hollow in the center? Because they filled it up with garbage. That's how they filled it up. You know, and that's why a lot of times when they go excavating, they tear these walls down, they find a lot of the stuff that people just threw away. They just built, that's what they did. It was planned to do it that way. It was the first garbage dump, if you will. And that's what we've done. We've built these walls, and we're just building them up with garbage. You know, things that we think are important. Why are you today's treasures tomorrow's junk? You know why? Because it won't satisfy you. And that wall, that those things separate us from God. They keep God hidden. The wall that Satan has put up. And that wall says you can have it all. You can have it all. You know, Jim let me have a copy of a recording of a seminar that was done at the university that he's a part of. And this guy was speaking about that, of the generation that said they could have it all. You know, you can be anything you want to be. Just you can be that. You know? And we believe that you can be anything you want to be, except we found that we got to be what we wanted to be. It wasn't anything at all. Not at all what we wanted. It didn't satisfy us. And the enemy comes along and tells you that. You'll be better off if you just follow me. He did it to Adam and Eve, and he did it to Jesus. Why wouldn't he do it to you? Get you believing that those things are important. So the desires of Satan keep God hidden from us. We listen to his voice all the time. Why is it that we can hear the voice of the devil, we never hear the voice of God? Isn't there something wrong with that picture? You know, aren't we listening with the wrong earphones over our ears? The wall of the cravings of our flesh to satisfy every desire. If we want it now, whatever it is, we want it. And if somebody else has it, we want one like that. Don't we? And that's the truth. That's the way we are. Just the natural way it is. I had a little eye touch that I can do all my electronic stuff with. And Jim had one like it, except his broke. He got a new one, and Mike got a new one, and theirs are better than mine. They're thinner and lighter and do more things, and I think that mine's a piece of junk now. You know, because it doesn't meet up to the standards of my Joneses brothers. You know, and those things build a wall that keeps God hidden from what God really wants to say to us. The Bible clearly points out, you cannot dispute this, that we must seek after God. Tells us to seek after him in a countless number of places. He said the kingdom of God is like treasure. It's like pearls. It's like a net that catches fish. It's, you know, the metaphors go on and on and on about what the kingdom is like. But in every case, it says we need to seek it. We need to search for it. We need to look for it. Have you been looking for God? Or you been surfing the channels? You know, did you wake up this morning saying, I'm going to find God today? But you wake up this morning and say, I'm just going to go to church. You might not find him here. The way we do things sometimes, and I'm leading the pack. Hopefully you have. But did you wake up with a determination to seek God? Fasting is not an abstinence from food, but it's a seeking of God in the place of food. I want to say that again for you. Abstinence, a fast, is not abstinence from food, but the seeking of God in place of food. There's something happens to you when you tell yourself no. It happened to me this last 2 weeks. You know, one of the things that I decided wasn't fair on my part, because I don't have a big problem with food. I really don't. I'm not a very big eater, so it's not a real big issue with me. But I do love my snacks. And I love to sit down after dinner. I just get them all. And I, like my friends, I just put them around me, you know. And then I just start from one side to the other and just eat everything in between. You know, because that's what I like to do. And I decided, you know what? I'm gonna find out, you know, before we get into this fast, so I can empathize with you, what it's like not to have what you want. And it's been murder for me this past 2 weeks. I guess God just allowed. No, sometimes I go to fast, it's a piece of cake. This has been tough for me. I've been wanting it all. And my wife, as I said earlier, has been helping. They're putting it out. We've got somebody for Christmas gave us some little cookies that are about 3 inches in diameter. And they're white, and they've got those little colorful Christmas sprinkles on them. And they stand up in the little cake dish that Pat said. They normally lay down, but these stand up because they're looking at me. I've walked past those cookies 1,000 times the last 2 weeks, and they keep saying, Morris, I'd love to join you. And I say, no, I'm not going to do it. I just learned to say no. I took up, what was her name, Bush's Laura Bush, is she the one, or was it Reagan's wife came up and just say no? Yeah, Reagan's wife just said no. Just say no. You know, I've discovered something. You can say no. Those cookies can't make me eat them. Not one of those cookies jumped out of that thing, grabbed me by the arm, threw me down on the floor, and forced themselves and run off. Not a one of them did that. Not a one of them. But I have thought about grabbing them and stuffing them in my little mouth just to enjoy them. Seeking God, seek Him first in the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. I've had a glorious 2 weeks. I've had a glorious 2 weeks. Just got, and I am not even to the real hardcore fast. I'm just getting myself ready. Seeking God. Why don't you decide to seek God? And one of the best ways to seek God is through a fast. I guarantee you, it'll make you seek God. Because you're either going to eat that food or you're going to go after God. And it'll determine what's going on the inside of you. Your resolve. Your ability to keep on keeping on. All right, the third thing I want to bring to your attention, I'm going to close with this. Stopping bad choices will help you to fast. About to get into the subject that some of you may not be as happy. I've already preached 2 easy points. This is going to be the tough one, all right? Stopping bad choices will help you to fast. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. But easy street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praises. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ. Our bellies have become a god in our lives. Whatever it wants, we give it. It makes a little noise, and we fill it up. Whatever it wants, we go for it. And it has become a god to us. We become just like these dead-end street people who've made their bellies their god. I want you to think about this. Think about it. We take no regard for our health. We eat things that are bad for us, and we do it day after day after day, and we wonder why our health is so poor. Let me tell you where it starts. In your hands as you put it into your mouth. And it's making us all sick. And we never think about our health. It would be like, who was it, Minnie Pearl said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. And we've done it. We're poisoning our own system. But it's not our fault. It's somebody else's fault. We don't want to take responsibility for ourselves. It's always somebody else who causes us to be where we are instead of taking responsibility for who we are and what we do with our lives. We take no regard for the fact that we are the temple of God. Would you walk into this church and throw garbage all over the inside of it? I think not. Would you go into the temple of God and throw garbage all over the temple of God? I think not. Well then, answer this question for me. Why would you take the temple of God, who you are? Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Why do you put all that garbage into the temple of God? Well, I've always had a big appetite. My parents are big. I have big bones. I just can't help it. The devil made me do it. On and on it goes, on and on. We take no thought of our health. We take no thought of the fact that we're spiritual beings. We're a temple of God. And we need to do a better job of taking care of the temple of God. The food devil, food itself, won't let us fast. The food God won't let us fast. He don't want you to fast. You know why? I'm going to tell you. Look, we have an epidemic in our nation. Over 60% of the people in our nation are obese. That's a disgrace. Children that are obese. You know why? Because parents are stuffing all this bad stuff into them. So, well, they're big bone. They're not big bone. They're big eaters. You know, it's okay to do that with your pets. I had a poor little pet. She just loved those little sugar-coated, what do they call those things, Pat?
Wheat.
Mini wheats. She loved those things. She'd kill for one of those things. And I gave her every one she wanted. Took no thought for her. She got fatter and fatter and fatter, and finally she got diabetes. And we had to start giving her an insulin shot every day. It wasn't her fault. It was my fault. Because I was feeding it to her. I was the food God that was feeding her desires. Don't get mad at me, folks. I'm trying to help you. And this is the truth. Our problem with our weight and our health has to do, it's a spiritual problem, and it's been generated by the devil himself. He started off in the Garden of Eden talking about food. Just go ahead and eat. He went to Jesus after he was on a fast. Just go ahead and eat. And he comes to us every day and says, just go ahead and eat. It's a spiritual battle. You know why? Because you are created, listen to me, you are created in the image of God, and when he sees you, he'd love to destroy you. And one of the ways he can destroy you is through food. Give you a premature death. Keep you sick. Keep you that you don't have any energy. You can't do anything. Done through food. It is a big demonic force that is running rampant in our nation and maybe around the world. I can't speak for the world. I can only speak for us. We got food. We got restaurants and fast food and junk food on every corner. It's hard to go. One of the things that Pat and I wanted to do during the fast is to drink pure 100% fruit juice. Not from a concentrate, no sugar added, real fruit juice, something healthy. Go try to find some. Go try to find something that's good for you. It's difficult. Everything is prepared foods that look so good. The lust of the eyes. The lust of flesh. The pride of life. Those are the sins the Bible talks about. I didn't make those things up. You were created in the image of God. You were created in body, soul, and spirit, made in the very image of God, and we treat ourselves like a barn. We do. We treat ourselves like a stinking barn. Instead of taking care of ourselves and seeking God. Will fasting make you skinny? No. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying it's a motivation for us to do something about it. If you got a stronghold in this area, to start fasting and do something about it. And giving up TV won't do it. Not going to the movies won't do it. It's fasting over getting away from food that'll do it. It talks here about our bellies becoming a god in our lives. And you know I'm telling you the truth. You know this is true. I have an hypothesis for you. I put it on Pat, and she said, "Where did you get that from?" When I was in school, and they taught us how to reason and use logic and to get through things, they set up what they call a hypothesis. And the other side of the hypothesis is what they call the antithesis. It's hard to say when you got a hole in your teeth like I do. Antithesis. The hypothesis is that the sky is blue. The antithesis is that it's not blue. It's red or something else. And then the process is you go through the evidence to see whether or not that's true. I have an hypothesis for you, right? I believe that you won't overeat on nourishing food. I don't believe you'll overeat on nourishing food. I don't believe it'll hurt you. I believe if you ate salad all the time, I believe you'd be healthy as a horse. You ate good stuff for you, you wouldn't be as sick as you are if you ate healthy stuff. And you wouldn't overeat it. I don't hear people overeating good stuff. I hear us overeating on cakes and cookies and ice cream and cakes and prepared fried food, fried and fried food and more of that stuff. And we just keep shoveling it in. We're making ourselves sick ones. You ever notice that when you eat a bunch of that stuff, you wake up in the morning, your tongue feels like it's got a coating of something on it? What is that? What is your body trying to say? And we try to cover it up by taking antacids, Primosol, Nexus, and all the other stuff. I have heard testimony after testimony from medical people that if we will change our diet, we'll get healthier. People who are diabetic, taking insulin, don't have to take it anymore. Just all they did was change their diet in the way that they live. That's the truth. That's a medical fact. A lot of what's wrong with this has got to do with the fact that things that we shovel inside of ourselves. Overeating is what is damaging our bodies. The temple of God is being damaged by it. And when I call for a fast, your God, Billy, says, "No, I can't do that." And I say, "Your belly is a liar. I've never heard of anyone dying from doing a spiritual fast." They say, "Oh, well, I'm sick and I got these problems." Listen, you're sick and your doctor tells you, listen to your doctor. I don't want you to go off and doing something half crazy, but I'm telling you, you can do this in some measure. You can do this. This is within the realm of your ability to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not talking about dieting. So why don't you talk about fasting? If you will fast, God will teach you the things that you need to know. I gave you this thing this morning, the Daniel fast. I promise you, eat all those foods, you'll be healthy. You'll be healthy. You know what happens to your taste buds? They begin to diminish for the things that you think are so important. I got to tell you that 2 weeks into getting away from sweets, I'm not nearly as bothered by it as I was 2 weeks ago. And trust me, I love chocolate. I am addicted to it. I could eat one of those 2-pound bars. And thank you, bros. I really appreciate y'all giving me a 3-pound box of candy for Christmas. It's sitting on my counter saying, "Please open me now. Please open me now. Please." Oh, she moved it. Thank you, Pat. It's just going to have to wait until I get off this fast. Fasting does two things, and I'm going to close with these two things. It deprives the devil of control over you. You finally say no. No to your flesh, no to the devil. Say, "I will not participate in that any longer. I am going to fast and I am going to pray, and 21 days from now, I am going to be different in my spiritual walk." Amen. And the devil gets deprived of victory over your life. And he won't have the victory anymore. He'll be crying. He'll be eating cookies and ice cream and cake. Kill himself, spiritually. But you'll be different. You'll have gotten to the heavenly realm. But I can't. Don't say you can't. Yes, you can. Tell me what you can't do. Tell me what you can do. You have the power that is within you and the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God, that you can do this. All you have to do is make up your mind and stop being so blasted hard-headed like my daddy used to tell me. And just do what you need to do. for your spiritual well-being. This is good for you. It's good for us. And you're not going to be alone. If you're suffering, there's going to be about 40 others suffering with you. In fact, there'll be over 300,000 suffering with you. This can be done. The second thing fasting does, it enriches your spiritual life. You will start hearing from, some of you used to hear from God. And you hadn't heard from God in so long, you forgot what his name was, much less his voice. You will begin to hear from God. You will begin to hear from God. You'll hear that still small voice. And maybe you'll get some irate person that you'll get a chance to pray for him. Maybe get a chance to hear God so clearly that you'll know the direction for your life. You'll get to hear God so clearly that maybe you'll go back to winning souls again. You'll hear God so clearly that maybe it's that threefold cord that Pat spoke of earlier of fasting and praying and giving. Maybe the purse strings will get loosened up. I want to encourage you to join in with me in this. This will be good for all of us together collectively, and it'll be good for you individually. And when we finish up and we'll start sharing testimonies and talking about what God's done, it'll be a great time of celebration. But if you don't, you're going to disappoint yourself. You will disappoint yourself. We're beginning today after lunch. We're going to have the Last Supper at noon. Those who want to go, I don't know where we're going. We're going someplace to eat. If you need to go home and look at the ball game, you can do that. I don't know what time the ball game's on for the playoffs, whatever. Saints aren't playing. Don't worry about it. But after lunch, we're closing the door on King Belly. Amen. And we're going to follow King Jesus. How's that sound? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I'll give you one last, Jim, you got that going. Next week, I've got something really, really good for you. Next week, Bob Thurstrup, who is the owner of the Slidell Athletic Club, one of the finest Christian men that I know. I've talked to him about this subject several months ago. This subject just pop up, yesterday. It's something I've been praying about for some time. And he's going to be here, and he's going to speak to us about spirituality and about our health. And he'll give you a little different perspective on it, all right? So I'd encourage you to be here. Anyone that you know that would benefit from Bob Thurstrup's being here, I'd encourage you to encourage him to come. Amen? Amen. You all okay? Amen. I want you to repeat after me. You ready? I love you, Brother Morris.
I love you, Brother Morris.
You're a good pastor. You care about me. I believe you're hearing from God. And I trust God. Because I trust God. I trust you. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. That was our closing prayer.